Nothing can prepare you for the next chapter in the Conjuring universe.
Annabelle?
Annabelle Creation. For a chance to see an exclusive preview on August 3rd, enter the code Annabelle at showfilmfirst.com. Rated 15.
Talk Show. Recorded live.
Welcome to the game. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Nico Riesgo and Michael Jella. How are you guys doing?
Russ Cohen, my man.
All right. Well, it's a big time of the year. Obviously, the trading deadline. And so we'll talk about the LA Dodgers. I'll tell you, the LA Dodgers, and we'll just sort of go around the horn. We'll go to Nico first and Mike on each of these guys. But the LA Dodgers seem to me like they're this year's Florida Marlins, where they're just adding an extreme amount of talent. Kershaw should be back from everything I hear. So, Nico, is there any way that the Dodgers could lose this year?
I don't see anybody in the National League beating them. Possibly somebody in the World Series, possibly Houston. But I don't know. It's almost like they're in a league of their own. It's like the Dodgers and then everybody else is like AAA.
I mean, it's getting like that. Mike, what do you think?
Well, the Dodgers have defied logic over the last few years where I thought that they were the best team in the National League and they didn't win. We know Kershaw's struggles in the postseason, and right now I think he's been out like 3 weeks with this injury, and it was like a 4 to 6 week injury, so you always have to be worried about him being not at 100%. But, you know, they made the right moves. They added to their bullpen. They added somebody to their starting rotation. I mean, on paper, they look invincible, but as we know, the game's not played on paper.
Right. Now, Yu Darvish is, you know, a guy that started off strong first 3 years. Last couple of years haven't been great. Hasn't even pitched 150 innings, but you still got to believe in a short stint he'll be really good. But I'll tell you, Nico, I get the feeling, though, for this trading deadline, and the other day someone asked me the question, hey, how come there's 18 teams that are under 500? Well, now there's going to be more. There's just more have-nots in baseball this year than any other year, it seems.
Yeah, it seems like there's more parity. And it seems like anybody can beat anybody on any given day. I mean, it's really wild, and I guess that's what the game strives for when you just take a look at the American League East. I mean, just about anybody's in that race right there. And it goes around across the board, too. The Central,
yeah, but what about the
thing,
teams? What I'm saying is, yeah, you could beat anybody every given night, but there's going to be like 20 teams that are going to probably be under 500 for the season. That's awful.
That is awful. With everybody's beating everybody. It's like there's nobody standing out except for the Dodgers, and then everybody else is.
Well, the Astros. The Astros.
And the Astros, and everybody else is like 500. I mean, it's really, like I said, it's hard to play the game, and it's proof that, that, like I said, you've got to be either elite or you're just going to be kind of like 500.
All right, Mike, so the Yankees finally get Sonny Gray. You would have thought that they just traded for Catfish Hunter all over again. But he's still a pretty good pitcher. What's your take?
Well, I think if he can stay healthy, and that's always been a question with Sonny Gray, this is a pretty good deal, not only because he's good right now, but he's making like around $3.5 million, and he's under control for another 2 years. And as we've known for all this season, the Yankees were more than concerned about adding money this year because they want to get under the luxury tax so they can go out and spend money, not next year, but the year after, when guys like Machado and Harper are free agents, and then they'll be the evil empire as they've been in the past. But he's a controllable pitcher. He's in the top five in ERA in the American League. He's pitched well the last couple months, and you know, he's not coming in there to be the savior. I mean, he's just coming in to be the, you know, part of the rotation, extend things a little bit. Guys like Montgomery are on innings limits, and I believe Severino is also, so they might go to a six-man rotation. So, and they gave up three prospects, and, you know, I know Mateo is a very good prospect, the shortstop, but he's sort of blocked by, you know, Gleyber Torres and Gregorius, and the other two players, Fowler and Caprillion, one had Tommy John, and the other one blew out his knee in his first game, so it's going to be a while before they're going to be able to get back on the field, so I think this is a big win for the Yankees, but it doesn't guarantee them anything.
No. Now, Nico, interesting thing is, you know, Brian Cashman was playing up the aspect. He hated to give up the prospects. And you know me, in other sports, I'm a big prospect guy. But for baseball, it really is a humongous crapshoot when you're talking prospects. And so I don't know if Billy Beane's going to really love this trade down the road. Even if he may not be the GM for much longer because he's kind of getting tired of having to trade for prospects all the time and not being able to hold on to talent. I think if we've learned one thing is – in Major League Baseball, stockpiling prospects is all well and good, but you have to be able to trade for known talent at some point because you're not going to be able to produce enough players to field a Major League squad on your own. You just can't.
Yeah, I mean, the money ball is dead, basically.
Yeah.
Oakland has proved it. They came on with, you know, it was a fad, and it was great to have all these low-cost players who could really play, but now look at them. I mean, they're basically in the bottom dwellers, 22 games out now. And Sonny Gray was their ace. And for them to just give him up and his salary, to me, that doesn't make any sense. The Oakland basically has given away competing for the next 3 or 4 years. I don't know what they're thinking to give him away.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Yeah,
I mean, even the Texas Rangers giving up Darvish is kind of huge. Like, it's almost like, yeah, we know we used to be good. Now we're not as good anymore. I mean,
well,
maybe one of the only teams in this deadline, Mike, you know, the Mets giving up Addison Reed has hope for next year because they have young pitching and they're bringing up some prospects now. Amad Rosario is finally getting to come up, and Dominic Smith, they claim, will come up soon, even though he's destroying the baseball down below. But for most of these teams, they're almost like, this is like, yeah, this isn't like better luck next year. This is just like, yeah, we're just going to get out from under.
Well, first, you know, what Nico said about Moneyball being dead. Well, Moneyball's dead when your general manager makes two ridiculous trades Cespedes, really doesn't get a ton for him.
No.
And then trades Josh Donaldson for, you know, Brett Lowry, who at 27 years old, nobody will give him a job in Major League Baseball, which still stuns me. You know, Darvish could be the Aroldis Chapman of this year in the sense that he's going someplace as a rental.
Yeah.
He may go back to Texas. So they're getting prospects for a guy that they're loaning out for a couple months. So I think that's, you know, that's beneficial to them. So, I mean, yeah, it can be a little bit confusing, but I think that, like, for teams like Texas, for teams like Oakland, I mean, yeah, maybe Billy Beane's running out of patience and time. But I learned today he's a minority owner in the Oakland A's, so in a way he's saving himself money when he makes these deals too.
Yeah, I didn't know that. All right. So Nico, here's the thing. So in the last couple of days, you know, the Mets have, last, you know, about a week, they've traded Duda, they've traded Reed. They're going to try and get another player or two out of there. The problem with the deals that the Mets are making is they're also asking teams to take on the salary. And so by doing that, the teams have told them, hey, you know, you're not getting our best prospects when you do that. And initially, Sandy Alderson told the Met fans, hey, I'll kick in money for the right prospects. Well, you made a trade with the Boston Red Sox. And to be honest, I don't care if three of your prospects, two of them single A. So, you know, when you tell me they're single A, it's not going to really help me that much. Two of them are way far down the path, and one's a triple A guy. And they're three of their top 50. Well, that, again, for Addison Reed, you didn't really get much. And then I get And I forget the other reliever's name that they picked up the other day, and that's why they could trade Reed.
A.J. Ramos.
Yes, A.J. Ramos, thank you. And when they picked up him, he's only on a one-year deal. So these are all still cost-saving measures by the Mets, who still refuse to lock up most players. I wrote about it on Sportsology about how they're not locking up their starting pitching. And so, like, down the road, this is the Mets just, like, saying, yeah, you know, we had injuries early this year. We sort of gave up on the season. But we'll be back next year, you know, maybe the year after. But we're not going to spend a lot of money to do it. But we want you to spend money at the ballpark. And it's just, it's not the right way for a New York team to operate. It really doesn't, it makes me uneasy.
It does. You know, I would like to see the Mets get Verlander. I mean, they need a, you know,
yeah,
a frontline starting pitcher to go along with Thor when he comes back into Grom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really need to pound the nail on the head here. And they could have really drove it home with the commitment to win with Verlander. He's available. And
yeah,
I know they got a couple of prospects. Rosario, they just called up. Hopefully he'll do something, but it's not going to do anything like Verlander would have did. I mean, they need wins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not counting them for this year, but hey, Justin Verlander for next year would be great, but it just seems like the Mets are not worried about next year right now. And, you know, if Lecroy gets traded, the Mets, I don't know who they're going to bring back at catcher. That's going to be a sore spot. And so, it's, like I said, it's just it's one of these times when I get that a team's not going to win every year, but their window's closing with young players. It shouldn't happen that way, but it is happening that way. So that's, you know, that's kind of odd. Interesting footnote, you know, the Phillies have won five in a row, and they still only have 39 wins. They still might lose 100 games, even with a five-game winning streak, Mike. Now, that's still hard to do, but they have 64 losses. Now, it looks like San Fran has overtaken them with 66. So it looks like somebody's going to lose 100 this year.
Yeah, and we commented on our webcast today that, you know, and we both know baseball pretty well, and when we look
yes
at the Phillies roster and don't recognize any players, that's a statement. I mean, we know, you know, the pitchers they have, like Nolan, Eichhoff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, there's not a lot there. There's some prospects, but for a team, you know, that's in transition from that Utley, Rollins, Ryan Howard era, it's taken them an awful long time for them to transition from there to a young group. And it's like, you know, fans will get pissed off after a while. They don't want to wait 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
They better hurry it up a little bit.
No, it's true. And this is the problem when you do load up on prospects is unless you've got some on the fast track or unless you've got some guaranteed can't miss guys, you're guessing. And when you guess wrong, and they have certainly guessed wrong on more than a few, it slows down the process. And so that's what we're looking at, I think, with the Phillies. And, yeah, they're probably another 2-3 years away from really being anything. But right now, as we look at the standings, Nico, it looks like the Nationals will run away with it this year in the East. It looks like the Cubs have finally at least played good enough baseball to either make a wild card or win the division. The Brewers will say something about that. So that's what we're looking at with the National League with the Dodgers. Like those are it seems like it's a three-team race in the National League.
Well, you can't count out that National League West. They got the Arizona Diamondbacks and the
yeah
Rockies in there. They're both fighting. Looks like both of those wild cards are going to come from the National League West there.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a battle for the Cubs to win it. It's good to see the Cubs, the World Series champions, play like champions, and it looks like they are back in control of that Central there. Talking about the Phillies, though, I mean, for them to dump their ace pitcher Hellickson, I mean, that
yeah
just shows you, you know, they won five in a row, but you know, that's just here today. It's gonna be gone tomorrow. I mean, look for another, like I said, a loss of maybe 7 out of their next 10.
Yeah, it's a tough way to go. There's no question about it. So, Mike, what do we think of the Marlins at this point? Are we just counting down the days until Stanton gets traded? Because I knew when he became the highest-paid player, I probably made the joke to you that it won't last for long because they'll just trade him at some point because they trade everybody. Are we going to see him get traded?
Well, The only thing that I think prevents him from being traded, and I haven't heard any news on this front in the last few weeks, is that team's up for sale. You've had the Jeter group, the Jeff Bush group, the A-Rod group. It's like, okay, you have – he's the only really good player. There was talk about them trading D. Gordon before the deadline. It's like, you know, you've got to have something that somebody is going to want to have or want to keep to buy that team. So I think that sort of mitigates the possibilities of Stanton being traded in the immediate future. But yeah, I mean, if I was him, I'd want to get out of that train wreck as quickly as possible.
Yeah, presumably you'd want the stadium, but I don't think anybody wants that stadium. So
no.
Interesting fact, Nico, an Aaron Judge jersey from his debut sold for $157,000. I like Aaron Judge as much as the next guy. I talked to Mike about him a couple of years ago when I got to see him in AA when I was doing a book signing up in Binghamton. He's improved so much. I don't know if I'm spending $150,000 on his jersey yet. I gotta wait a few years here.
Yeah, let him win the MVP, and then let him win the Rookie of the Year, and let him win a World Series, and then we can talk about how much his jersey costs.
Yeah, because I was shocked to see that. I mean, it was a record-breaking sale, but Mike, right now the Yankees are riding high there. They've got that deadlock in first place. I still think the Red Sox will overtake them, but they're having an exciting season, probably more so than what you thought before the year started.
At the beginning of the year, I would have agreed with you in regards to the Red Sox, but first of all, that organization without David Ortiz has a gaping hole up the middle, in the middle of their lineup. They didn't solve it at the deadline. The only thing that they really added was Reed and Eduardo Nunez, and knowing from him being with the Yankees and the Twins and then the Giants, he's not a showstopper or difference maker.
Yeah.
But the dysfunction, I mean, you think that the Yankees in past years were dysfunctional. The dysfunction going on right now in Boston with this Eckersley-David Price thing and the possibility that's out there of Price having Tommy John surgery, which is it's rumored right now. We don't know what's going on. I mean, I think they're in chaos right now, and I think ironically, it's the Yankees that, like, everything is flowers and lollipops. I think there's more pressure on the Red Sox with the money that they spent and the players that they have than the Yankees. I think the Yankees are playing with house money because nobody expected them to win in 2017. It was always 2018 or 2019. So I think the pressure is on the Red Sox.
Now, Tampa pulling Lucas Duda, I mean, they really could pull out a wild card. There is a possibility of that, Nico. Oh, we lost Nico. There is a possibility of that, Mike.
Yeah, no, I think there's a possibility. I mean, I watched all four games of the Yankees and the Rays this weekend, and the Yankees took three or four, which gave them a little bit of some breathing room. I mean,
yeah.
It's ironic. You've got a team there in Tampa. You consistently underestimate them. You look at their lineup at the beginning of the year and you say, how the hell is this team going to win? You know, they've got decent pitching, guys like Archer. But, you know, then all of a sudden Logan Morrison comes out of nowhere and hits 20 home runs. And Steven Souza Jr. is hitting home runs. It's like, I don't know where they get these players from or how they automatically turn into good players. But they just seem to have that knack. But it's going to be tough for them to battle for a wild card spot because Kansas City is moving pretty well right now.
Now, Kansas City just made an acquisition, and I laughed. Do you know who they acquired?
Get the pitcher? They got Cahill from the Padres.
Well, they did that, but they also got Melky Cabrera. And I laugh at that because he doesn't even look like the guy he used to. He is, like, he's got to have 30 pounds of muscle on him. But he's a valuable guy to have down the stretch, Mike.
Yeah, ever since he was on the Yankees, wherever he's gone, he's had success with San Francisco, with the Blue Jays. You know, he's a professional hitter. It's funny because I don't like his attitude. Especially on the field, he's sort of standoffish. But, you know, he's been an effective player, and I think, you know, the Royals needed that flexibility. He can play center. He can play left. I think he can still play center. He may be a little too slow to play it every day. But, yeah, I mean, he's an effective guy. They could DH him. They could use him in the outfield. That's a decent acquisition, depending on what they gave up for him.
Now, Nico, the Indians are holding serve right now. They're in first place. KC, you know, made a move. I think the Twins are out of it. I haven't seen the – did I miss anything? I don't see that the Indians have made a trade yet.
No, the Indians have a great team. They're pretty much stacked. They need some pitching. They definitely need some starting pitcher. Their position players are solid, you know, at all positions. When you look at Kansas City, the moves that they're making, I mean, they're going for it this year. I mean, that's an organization. They've been there. They've smelt it. They lost it last year, and now they're trying to make a comeback. And they've got the horses. They just need another couple of pitchers themselves. They pretty much have traded away their bullpen. So when it looks like, you know, I don't know how they're this close, but you can tell that the reason, like I said, they're playing so well is just like nobody really wants to run away in the Central. Even the Indians haven't, you know, they've been 9-1 over the last 10, but before then, you know, they couldn't buy a win. So it's kind of up in the air right now.
Well, they were in on Darvish, and I guess, Nico, they lost out, you know, to the Dodgers. But, like, you got to get aggressive. You have the Indians. I mean, you had this shot last year. You're not going to get this kind of shot every year.
No, this is the year. Like I said, in Kansas City, I would be, you know, if I was Indians, behind my back, because Kansas City has been there. They've got the experienced players. And like I said, down the stretch, that's the team to worry about right there. If they get any kind of pitching at all, look out for those Royals.
And come on, Russ.
What?
Come on. Yeah. The Indians went with the plan B after Darvish. They got Joe Smith from the Blue Jays. I mean, that's a deal that rocks the baseball world.
Now, Joe Smith, was he the same Joe Smith that pitched for the Mets once?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, that guy? Yeah, well, yeah, he's not that good. I'm not excited about that. Now, the Houston Astros are the other team that's just been all world. I will say that Nico and I disagree on a lot of things, but when he pointed out Carlos Correa to me, I paid attention, and he was right about him being one of the best players in the game. A couple of years ago, he was saying that, and he's certainly right about it now. But Nico, I haven't seen an Astros trade.
No. And they should have made a move for, like I said, Darvish, the pitcher. He would have been great for them cross town, just go from the Rangers to the Astros. Verlander, that would have been a great spot for Verlander to throw. I mean, the Astros, you know, they've been riding Dallas, you know, for too long. He's been hurt, and, you know, they're looking for him to coming back healthy. McCullers has basically hit the wall here in July. They really don't have a second and third starter there. They're going to be struggling down the line, but like I said, their offense is so good with Altuve. He's kind of the engine that runs the ship, and Correa will be back here shortly after his injury, so
yeah,
they should be putting some more runs on the board, but they're pitching. That's what they need. I mean,
now,
Charlie Morton can only do so much for you.
True. Now, Mike, the Seattle Mariners, who I watched this past weekend against the Mets, do look like a pretty good team. I mean, Cano looks good. They've got some young power. They have some pitching. They need some help. They haven't really made that big trade, and you would think that they have to because they're only three games out. Now, they may be in on Ervin Santana. Maybe that's a good deal for them. But what do you think? I mean, what's the holdup for them?
I think the holdup is they don't want to spend any more money. I mean, they spent a ton of money on, you know, on a guy like Cano, on a guy like Nelson Cruz. You know, they're paying big money for King Felix.
Yeah.
I think the well is dry there. I think if they can find themselves a cost-effective move, you know, before August 31st, which is the waiver trade deadline, they might do that just to add somebody. But yeah, I mean, I think they're still in the race. And you know they do have some talent there, but they should have been proactive and made some kind of move before the 4 p.m. deadline today. And by the way, the Astros, I mean their impact move was adding Francisco Liriano, whose ERA is over 5.
Oh,
and
that's right. I did see Liriano moved, and yeah, that didn't excite me. You're right. I forgot about
that.
Yeah,
and you don't know if he's a starter, which he showed that he wasn't with the Blue Jays, or if he goes to the bullpen. But it's like that's not the move. That's not the capper type of move you want the Astros to make. especially with Keuchel and the fact that, you know, he's been on the DL, what, once or twice this year. You know, if they lose him, all this great season that they've had is down the drain, I think.
Yeah, and it looks like Seattle got a guy named Zach Lee who, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And
Mrs. Lee doesn't know who he is. There you go.
It's just, so it's a weird deadline. I mean, yeah, Zach Lee is 1-0 this year with a 5.63, so whatever. I mean, but this is a weird year. This is like a few teams are going for it, Nico, and the other ones know that they're in it. Now, Washington did acquire somebody. Who did the Nationals get? They got the pitchers. They loaded up
on their bullpen.
Right.
I mean, they cleaned up with Doolittle.
Yeah, they got a few guys. I know that. I have to pull
them.
Yeah,
they got Doolittle. They got Madsen. They got Brandon Kinsler today.
Yeah.
So they added a few.
Yeah, players. Madsen was the first one who still can throw some pretty good heat. And yeah, so actually they've maybe solved their bullpen problem. But, Nico, did they really solve it? Like, is this a team that's going to go bullpen by committee and try and win a World Series with that?
No, I think Kinsler's going to get it. I mean, you can see what he did for the Twins. I mean, he basically won over 20 games for the Twins and put them basically in contention there. I don't know what they were thinking letting him go. But, obviously, like I said, the Nationals knew what they were getting.
Yeah.
And they went after him, and they got him. So I think they're solid. I mean, they got starting pitching. They got now relief pitching. They got hitters. I mean, if anyone can beat the Dodgers, it's the Nationals.
Except they're missing their ace, Steven Strasburg, who's hurt again. Mm-hmm. And, Mike, I kind of wonder, I always told you that a couple of years ago with Davey Johnson, when they shut him down, I think that was their year to win the World Series, and they wouldn't let him pitch in the playoffs. Davey Johnson lost his cool, eventually lost his job. Is it going to be like this up and down now? They're just going to try and preserve Strasburg for the rest of his career? Because he was 10-3 already this year. Like, it just seems like the innings limit thing is killing him, even though they may feel they're getting production out of him. I just feel like you're sort of getting, like, half production out of him. I don't feel like they're getting the same pitcher. Like, he pitched 34 games in 2014. I don't think he's ever going to pitch 34 games again.
I mean, they're trying to protect him by limiting the wear and tear on that arm. But, you know, he may just be somebody who, you know, you just put him out there, and if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. I mean, he's a talented pitcher, but, you know, you can't. There's no way to avoid the stress that's put on that arm by throwing 97, 98 miles an hour. Besides the bullpen guys, they did add Howie Kendrick, but this isn't the Howie Kendrick of the LA Angels of Anaheim a few years ago. This is a guy who I don't think he was really making much of an impact with the Phillies, but
he wasn't. I mean, I watched him a bit. I mean, they were. I think the Phillies were just putting him in as a plug, to be honest. A little bit of power, a cheap plug. That's what he was.
Yeah. So I mean. Yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be tough for anybody to beat the Dodgers. But I think the other team that I wasn't sure if you were going to bring them up is the Cubs. Did you know they added to their bullpen? They added a catcher. The after Miguel Montero mouthed off against Jake Arrieta, they needed a backup catcher after Contreras. So they got Alex Avila from Detroit.
Yeah.
They got Justin Wilson. So you know they added a couple pieces and. You know, the core of that team is still there, and
they're going to have a chance. You're right. I mean, they were smart. I was actually kind of hoping they would get Rivera from the Mets, but the Mets didn't make a trade with the Cubs. I don't know why. But, yeah, I think the Cubs are right in it. I was looking at the Strasburg situation. Right now he's making $18 million this year, and he's got 20 starts. Like, it's just like if he doesn't come back for the postseason, boy, that's going to hurt.
Well, I think they're probably going to, you know, what's the point? You know, you're going to win first place in the division. What's the point right now to bring them back? Bring them back in the first week of September. Let them get four or five starts before the playoffs. Preserve the arm and just pray to God that he stays healthy.
It does seem like it's the trick. I have to see the extent of the injury, Mike, but I know you follow the Blue Jays intently. Troy Tulowitzki, we kind of knew that he would be getting injured any year now. What's the deal with him?
Well, he rolled his ankle. They thought it was a severe sprain, and now they think there might be some ligament damage, and there's no indication of how long. I mean, you know, I followed Troy Tulowitzki's career for forever. He always has a serious injury. He always gets to about 400 at-bats. He probably was on a Hall of Fame pace until he got traded to the Blue Jays, and I think his career has pretty much been derailed. And, you know, he's an albatross. The contract that he has is a complete albatross. I think he's got three more years at around $20 million. And, you know, good luck. We know that the Blue Jays are basically, they say they're retooling, but we know that Ross Atkins and the former GM from the Indians are there, Mark Shapiro, are there to tear that team down and rebuild it with prospects, but they don't want to say that. You're going to see Donaldson. You're going to see some other guys traded out in the next, I'd say, 12 to 18 months. But they don't want to say that because they're raising ticket prices right now.
Yep. Nico, what do you think?
That's a good point. The Blue Jays are on a purge, you can say. I'm surprised they let Encarnación go last year. He was a big slugger for them. And they really had a team that could compete until they let him go.
All right, so here's the surprising thing, and we'll kind of close out on this. So with the Mets, they still have Curtis Granderson, expiring contract, Neil Walker, expiring contract, Jay Bruce, having a great year, expiring contract, Asdrubal Cabrera, expiring contract. Mike, how does a GM justify this?
I don't know. I think Sandy Alderson's insane because no team in their right mind is going to let Jay Bruce through waivers to go to their competition. He's going to get blocked. So how can you – so you've got these guys. Either you're going to re-sign them or you're going to lose them for nothing or for a draft pick.
Right.
What is he thinking? I don't know.
Yeah, to me, that's the part that's going to leave Met fans hollow is those guys because they're not in the race and they're not getting anything for them. Nico, shouldn't you get – everything you can, just like we were talking about before, Nico, for guys like this with expiring deals, even if it's just one player from the minors, or maybe you do kick in some money and get a better player. Like at some point, don't the Mets have to do that? Don't they owe that to their fan base?
Was their guy. Obviously, 27 home runs. Somebody could have used them down the stretch here, but like since nobody wanted them, nobody wants his salary, and a little bit too. Their home run or nothing. So it's troubled. What I see the Mets doing is just let them all go next year. I don't think either one of them will.
Yeah, they're not going to re-sign them all. I think they're all going to go. We're going to end it there. We appreciate everybody tuning in. It's been a pretty good trade deadline, and we'll see what happens now with the waiver deadline. That's it for the game, and we'll catch everybody next time.
That's right.
There's all this talk that women are breaking through in electronic music. It's ludicrous.
We've been here the whole time. Yet last year, only 17% of music festival headliners were women. We need to reclaim electronic music and put women back in the story. Help us double the number of women headliners in electronic music. Get involved at Smirnoff.com. Smirnoff, equalizing music.